Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And talking about backyards, it's a special week this week. And I want to ask you if 35% of the food production was taken away, if there was something that affected 35% of the total food production in the world, would you be concerned? You know, that's a third of our food. Well, we could have some problems. And that relates to the special week. It's National Pollinators Week. And this means that without pollination, we would not have grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables that comprise about 35% of our total global food production. And you're going, well, pollinators, you got to be a gardener. No, it's helpful. It's positive if you're a gardener. But there are many other ways that you can be friendly to pollinators, and we'll be talking about some of those. But this is actually, it's been this week, June 19 to 25, National Pollinators Week, and sort of a new thing, just because the importance of pollinators and awareness of how important pollinators are to all of us, I think, has come more to light. So it's a good way to make awareness out there. Well, pollinators, what do they do? Well, they are animals, insects that help plants reproduce, and that's producing the fruits and the seeds by carrying pollen from one flower to another. And specifically, pollinators carry pollen from the male flower parts to the female flower parts. The wide variety of animals that visit flowers can be pollinators, including bats, birds, and other animals, but more importantly, insects. And I think, and this was me not very long ago thinking, well, bees, they're the pollinators. Well, they're way more than bees, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned about all of the pollinators. Pollination, of course, is necessary for proper development of many fruits and vegetables that surround the seed. Without pollination, most fruits and vegetables will not set fruit. The fruit will be incomplete or misshapen, and the yield will be low. Now, different plants have different ways of accomplishing pollination. Plants such as corn, grapes, soybeans, tomatoes, eggplant, and peppers, that's part of the list, have female and male parts close together in the same or adjacent flowers. So wind releases pollen that falls onto the stigma without difficulty, and no aid or assistance is needed from insects and animals. But for some other plants, the help for pollination is really important. Such things as strawberries, squash, melons, cherries, apples. That's just a partial list of the foods that really have to have some help in getting pollinated. So, as we said, the pollinators carry the pollen from the male flower parts to the female parts and allow the plant to successfully produce seeds. Different flowers attract pollinators. Depends on the size and shape of the flower, because it depends on the animal or insect and how they are created in order to make that pollination happen. The insects especially have modified structures to accomplish the dual tasks of obtaining food. They're getting food while they are getting pollen on them that they will carry on to the next plant. For example, the mouth parts of some pollinators are adapted for reaching past that middle part of the flower, the anthers and the stigmas. Butterflies and moths have a long tubular kind of nose for reaching to the bottom of the flower. And similarly, certain bees have tongues, so to speak, for drawing up nectar as the insects walk on the exposed plants, parts of the plant. Beetles and ants have short mouth parts and are unable to reach those nectars that are located deep in the flower. So if you're really serious about planting flowers and other plants, flowers, grasses, other plants, diversity is really important, because one size does not fit all. One kind, one variety does not fit all of the potential pollinators. So diversity is an important part if you are planning on helping out the pollinators. So what are the common pollinators in Iowa? We talked about bees, and not in Iowa necessarily, but would you believe that there are, in honey and bumblebees, an estimated 4,000 native bee species. That's just bee species in North America. As I said, not all of those are in Iowa, but many of them are. And last year, I attended the International Master Gardeners meeting, and one of the presentations was just on research done in New York City finding bees. And I thought it was fascinating that in that research in New York City, they found new species of bees. You know, you don't expect bees or many insects. Where are they going to live and do their thing in New York City? Well, in certain gardens, you know, there are green spaces, and people are planting gardens on their rooftops, and communities find little spaces to do community gardens. They did research in those areas and found many species of bees. So that's positive. I think that's really helpful to know that it's not just one kind of bee. And of course, when you look at a bee, do you know what species it is? Probably not. We'll probably say it was a honeybee or a bumblebee, but beyond that, unless you're an expert in bees, you probably won't be able to list what those are. But remember, bees are just one of the kinds of pollinators. Butterflies are another kind. So, you know, some people aren't very comfortable with having a lot of bees around their home, but most would welcome butterflies. Some people call those the jewels of the garden because they do come in all sizes and colors and, you know, provide some action around the home. Not going to hurt anybody. And sometimes it's even kind of fun if one lands on you, as you say, being kind of special. So, if you'd like to really invite butterflies or other pollinators, there is a list of not only flowering plants, but also trees and shrubs and grasses that will help feed all of those insects. And they can be really attractive around your home. But as I said, you don't have to be a gardener in order to be a great pollinator-friendly person. You can just allow a place, and for this, some people this is really hard, to think about allowing a space somewhere in your yard that where there might be some dandelions, some clover, some things that you think of as weeds, and we really want to get rid of and clean up the area. Well, maybe there's a little patch somewhere you could leave because that would be friendly to the pollinators. So that, diversity of plants and some of those that we don't necessarily want in our yard, could leave a few of those. And as I was coming to KJN today, I saw a farmer mowing the ditch side. You know, we don't want weeds that grow up so we can't see around them, but maybe some of those could just not be mowed. Also, if you use pesticides, and again, for many folks, they want that really clean, neat-looking yard, then they're probably going to involve some pesticides. At least you can do some thinking about when you apply pesticides to lower the risk of killing the pollinators. First of all, of course, limit the amount that you use. But secondly, try to use those pesticides, apply those insecticides when it's least disruptive, and that would be when pollinators are least active, so that would be very early morning, late evening, or after dark. And do not apply the insecticide to plants that are blooming or when it is windy. So you can do a little protection even if you want to use those insecticides. If you'd like more information about pollinators, specifically about plants that you might want to add to your garden, and when I say garden, you know, there are containers that a lot of people use just kind of by their door. You could include some of those flowers and plants also in containers. Iowa State University Extension Store, if you go to your computer, you can just put that in. Iowa State University Extension Store has a list of bulletins that are free, and you can just print them off. Some are just 2 pages, some are 4 pages, but go there and you will find, for instance, one that's called Gardening for Butterflies and Pollinators, and another that is just, this is a 2-page one that's more general, called Pollinators in the Garden. Those are free, great, give great information. And by the way, if you're a grandparent, you might pass some of this information on to your grandchildren and talk about how to be friendly to insects and pollinators in general. Until next time, let's be happy.